So this is the third week of this virtue series. And I've been talking about how these virtues, Jesus has something revolutionary to say about each one of them. So Jesus, 2 weeks ago, had something revolutionary to say about love, about charity, in the story of the Good Samaritan. And it was this, you know, we're not really exercising the love that God is describing until we learn how to love our enemies. That is to love like God. And then some equally as radical, we had something last week about as Martha and Mary were giving hospitality to Jesus, Jesus had something radical to say about temperance. Now, we usually, again, think about temperance as our senses, as kind of governing, you know, how we taste and touch and see and hear and speak and all of those sorts of things. But temperance is also needed even with our other virtues. That we can do good things for not necessarily the best reasons. And so there's this virtue of temperance that Martha had to learn, which is we should always listen to Jesus first before we act. Now, I thought since this is the third week, I should also say something about why we're doing these virtues. Because, you know, we're not studying the virtues for their own sake. Although there is a proverb that, you know, virtue is virtue for its own sake is its own reward, right? But that really is kind of boring. And it doesn't really excite a lot of people. But what is really at the heart of what we're doing? Why are we even looking at the virtues? And the answer is holiness. Holiness is that share in the very life of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus came to save us from our sins. This child is going to be baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, as St. Paul said today, right? But it is too little a thing that we're just saved from our sins. God wants to give us so much more. And that's what holiness is. It's this intimate, deep, personal relationship with God. That's what holiness is. And so, you know, it's a lot like the virtues are how we access. You know, we don't get holiness on our own, okay? But what we have to do is we have to prepare the ground for God to change us, to form us with holiness. It's like the cell phones that most of you have. They're a lot smarter than we are. I should probably just speak for myself. They're a lot smarter than me. I'm kind of an infant when it comes to understanding everything you can do with a cell phone. But I have to say that I'm kind of like that with holiness, too. Although I struggle for it, I still feel kind of like an infant. But God wants us to grow in the virtues, these virtues that are this habit of acting according to who God has made us to be, who we are, as a way of preparing the ground for us to do amazing things with holiness. And today we're going to be talking about the virtue of courage. Because Jesus, when he's asking people to pray, he asks them, you know, your heavenly Father will give you the Holy Spirit. You know, you just have to ask. And to receive the Holy Spirit is to receive holiness itself. To receive the person of God is to be made holy. And we have to ask for that gift, Jesus says, courageously. Now, you might not have heard that in the gospel. You might have heard persistence, okay? But we also have to realize that sometimes as we've translated the words of Jesus, sometimes the translations limp. And that's the case here. When Jesus says we need to pray with perseverance, a better translation would be that the man will receive what he should have from his neighbor because of his shamelessness. That he didn't care about his own honor. He didn't care about culture. He didn't care if this neighbor thought he was rude. He didn't care if he thought he was out of his mind. He was shameless in his prayer. And that's the question. That's how we're supposed to pray. We're supposed to pray shamelessly for holiness. Now the question is that how we pray? Do we pray not regarding our own honor, do not regarding our culture? Do we pray with, and by the way, this takes courage to pray this way. And what, you know, because we build up in our honor, we sometimes think, you know, well, I don't want to feel like I'm begging to God. Why not? That's what Abraham did. You know, don't be shameless. This is the most important thing in our life, is to grow in this love of God who wants to give us this gift of holiness. Part of the reason that God doesn't answer our prayers right away is because we're not ready to receive the answer. And that's why we pray shamelessly, because in the very act of praying, God is preparing us to receive the gift that he already wants to give us. How about culture? I'll tell you, culture is such a strong thing. The reason is, you know, we might not think that we're affected by our culture, but you go against the culture, it has ways of rising up and shaming you to get back in line. There is nothing more countercultural than holiness. So, how do we pray for holiness? What does it look like to pray for holiness? I even mentioned already that it looks like Abraham. You know, Abraham prays courageously, shamelessly, humbly before God. And God answers his prayer. You have a feeling that if Abraham had been more courageous and said, if there's one man, will you spare the town? But he stopped at five. He needed to be a little bit more shameless. And Jesus, we have a God who also prayed. I don't think it's a mistake that the parable today has the man going to his neighbor at midnight, because Jesus often went in the middle of the night out to pray. That was part of his usual way. Remember, the beginning of here is the Our Father. They're saying, teach us to pray as you pray. So Jesus, you know, would minister all day, and then he would spend all night sometimes in prayer. But remember, Jesus also prayed shamelessly, courageously, humbly when he was in the garden. He says, Father, if it's your will, take this chalice from me. But not my will, but yours be done. See, forming our will, or rather having God form our will to conform to Jesus' will, to conform to the Father's will, that's what holiness is. That's what you're preparing this child for. It's not just a naming ceremony. It's not just, yes, this child will join the church and be eligible for all of those other sacraments that we receive, but it's so that this child becomes a saint. And that's your job as parents. Not only to become a saint yourself, but to form this child to become a saint. Two of my favorite saints right now are Thérèse of Lisieux's parents. They not only formed her to become a saint, but one of her sisters is a blessed, and the other one's cause is up as well. These are great parents. Now we might think that, you know, why? How can we do this? That's why we need the community. That's why we need the church, to support one another in what it means to pray for holiness. To courageously pray, because I'll tell you, holiness is hard. In fact, some of you might be even saying, you know, it's too hard for me. I know he's talking about it, but, you know, That's for other people, not for me. I'll just shoot for purgatory. You know. Remember, purgatory is not our goal. Heaven is. And there are only saints in heaven. And so if our life is shamelessly, courageously praying for holiness, that we become a saint, if we don't hit the mark, we have the mercy of God that purgatory is there. If we're shooting for purgatory and missing the mark, we don't have a lot of options. So pray shamelessly for holiness. Pray courageously for holiness. Pray persistently that God, what He wants to give us anyway, that we're ready to receive it through this virtue of courage. And if you're courageous is enough as parents, and you have to be courageous to be parents in this day and age, I'm going to ask you to stand so that we might surround you in prayer. And the whole community.